1888.
Coming up on America Tonight, we're worried about our friends in California. Do you have any? We'll tell you what the latest is on the fire situation there. Over 140,000 acres have burned. You're not going to believe what Nancy Garrido's lawyer has to say about the woman who stood by her man, Philip Garrido, while he raped and destroyed an 11-year-old's life and then fathered two children by her as well when she was just a child herself. Also, the latest on health care and Obama's plan to address the nation and, of course, more importantly, Congress. That's where we start. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We're sailing some interesting waters, certainly, during this hour anyway, of ATN. So this was the deal. We knew it was happening. Obama has decided that it's time to talk to everybody and see if he can unite anybody on health care. In other words, when I say unite everybody, not just the Democrats, really get that bipartisan support that they were initially talking about from, you know, the White House. So he's going to try to reframe this debate. And reframing, what does that mean? We tried to figure that out on our last show. Invigorate. I don't know, use some buzzwords. I think that's what they're trying to do. So it's going to be a joint session of Congress next Wednesday. It will be televised, as I said. During the speech, there are going to be highlights from Senator Ted Kennedy's life, clips, I believe, even, or he may just say them, about what he tried to do to achieve health care reform across the nation. So that's going to be thrown out there right in the beginning. Now, it's interesting. This decision to hold an address in the first place is kind of rare. I looked this up to make sure I was right. The only time that we've seen this in recent history anyway was when Bush, President George W. Bush, addressed the nation after the September 11th attacks. And in September of 1993, when Clinton used it to push his health care reform package. So now that the month of August was a bad one, let's face it, for the Democrats, at least in my opinion, does anybody else think that the Democrats really lost the war of words when it came to so-called health care reform legglegislation? I mean, I think anybody would say that if you look at what the polls were doing, what his approval ratings have been doing, and certainly the reaction to trying to ram this through. So now we're returning from this recess, and definitely intensely partisan environment, to just a couple days into it, have the president talk to everybody. Moving forward, supposedly from the White House, they say the idea is to unify the Democrats around the three bills and the one Senate bill that have already passed out of committee. Oh, well, that's not good, because do we like any of those bills? First of all, does the president really understand what's in House Bill 3200? But according to one of the administrative aides, that's the idea. The strategy is suggesting that the Senate Finance Committee is considering it a lost cause, and that the White House is going to use the Dems' majority in both the House and the Senate to finish this job. So what does that mean? I guess this new phase is what? The new phase is that these are the bills we have on the table. Pick one, anyone. Pick a card, any card. And can you really, at this point, get that bipartisan cooperation? And what about the public option? In one sense, you hear it's on. In one sense, you hear it's not. You know, in one sentence, you hear it's not. So, obviously, if this goes through, it sounds like it's really going to just get rammed through with the nuclear option. Here's what Steny Hoyer said outside of his town hall meeting when he was interviewed. You know, the crowd was the typical thing. You had people that were asking questions, people kind of on both sides. when I say sides, those who want to see what's already out there and want to see a public option, and those who might want health care reform, but they don't like what they're hearing. So here's how Hoyer summed it up.
I also believe that there are many other aspects of this bill that are very good and will make a real difference in terms of cost to individuals and families, access to affordable quality health care. All of those are very important as well.
All right. And, of course, Hoyer certainly very tight with Nancy Pelosi. If you remember, he was the one who put out that op-ed piece that was in the USA Today maybe 3-4 weeks ago that enraged a lot of people, the name-calling over the people that were at the town hall meeting. He was one of the people responsible for that. 800-259-5791. You can throw in your 2 cents as per usual. I don't think that the president's going to change anyone's mind who doesn't want to see currently what's being discussed, you know, go be thrown out there in the same form. Let's go to Don, who's listening to us in Kentucky. Hey, Don.
Good morning, Kate. It's past 2 o'clock here, so it's good morning to you.
Good morning.
I'd like to discuss Diane Sawyer and ABC News. She's taking over the anchor position from Charlie on ABC News. Here's my point. Katie Couric has been nothing short of an absolute flop. Her ratings have plummeted with Katie, and I would think they would go after to try to take the market share, that the largest news company out there that currently has, which is Fox News, the most successful one. And I was watching Fox. Fox, whether you like it or not, they seem to put pretty women on TV. And Diane Sawyer, 30 years ago, was a pretty lady, but she's in her mid-60s now. And, you know, I don't think it's going to help their ratings and help them bring more money to the table of bringing Diane Sawyer on as the anchor.
Right. I wonder, see, what some people would say to that, Don, is, oh, but people like her. She has experience. She's been around for a long time. She has credibility. But I think the evening news already is in a position where they've lost so much money anyway. I think by putting her there, you don't do anything to shake anything up. In other words, you don't, because she's already been around. So you haven't, and she's in the morning show, she did well, but to move her to the anchor chair, how much are you really shaking things up anyway? So your point is, why don't they put a hot blonde in and somebody younger, and maybe more men would watch, right?
Well, have you seen Fox? I mean, I like Fox.
Oh, yeah.
I was watching this the other day. There is nobody over 35 woman on Fox News. I mean, they are all just, I was like, man, they're all smoking hot.
Yeah, I'd say most of them are, you're probably right. None of them are older for sure. Well, Greta Van Susteren, that's not true. Greta Van Susteren is over 35, but that's different. She's doing a talk show. She was a lawyer. It's a whole different thing.
Right. The ones on the news, they just keep younger and younger.
You're young.
The second thing I had to ask you about was, I wanted to find out if you've heard this as well. I heard someone bring up to me that Obama is going to be addressing the children of America through a children's only, like a not press conference, but a speech he's going to make to the kids.
Yes.
Television classroom.
Yes, yes. I'm going to give you all the details. It's crazy. I'm going to give you all the details on the flip side. I'm glad you brought that up. Plus, what one of his green advisors called Republicans and then had to take it back because it got out on YouTube. Stay with us.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity quality and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Don in Kentucky, you're going to dig, and the rest of you, what I have to say about the Green Czar or Green Jobs Advisor, and he had to become another apologist for himself this time for something that he said about Republicans. It was all over YouTube, I'll tell you in just a second. But since Don brought this up, and I think I mentioned it in a previous show, I'm sure I did, but President Obama is going to talk to students in a national address. He's going to do that on Tuesday, September 8th, so that's after Labor Day, 12 o'clock Eastern. He's doing it in Arlington, and what it is a national address directed to kids, students, whatever, on what they're calling the importance of taking responsibility for their success in school. So the Department of Education is providing resources and all that other kind of stuff for teachers, they say, to help engage students and stimulate discussion about persisting and succeeding in school. I don't know. Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? Is this a, hey, Mr. President, we have so many things that are happening in this country, including this so-called healthcare reform. It's the day before when you're doing this. Don't you think we need to worry about immigration, healthcare, economy, a slew of other things, Social Security going bankrupt, Medicare going bankrupt, people losing jobs, people not being able to afford to meet their mortgage payments, the devaluation of the dollar, should I go on? So is there really time for this would be my first question. And ultimately, I think the direction of the speech is weird for the president. I don't know. The importance of persisting and succeeding in school. Now, nationally, what's the problem with education? Well, problem with funding, problem with teachers who don't make enough money in some cases, So are you getting the best teachers possible? And there are great teachers. So I hate to even slam teachers, because I know there are people that sacrifice so much when they could be making a lot more, and they stay in the classroom, and people rave about them in school districts, and they do make a difference with children, et cetera. You know, there's a lot of questions that we could ask ourselves about standardized tests and various school districts and all that sort of stuff. So I'd be curious, and I'll be watching it. In fact, you can watch it, because it's going to be broadcast live on whitehouse.gov and C-SPAN as to what the specifics of this are going to be, plus the age of the kids. I mean, you talk to somebody in first grade different than you talk to somebody in eighth grade, right? There's no time for this. That's the major thing. No time for that. Mark is listening to us in New York. Hello, Mark.
Yeah, hi, hon. I just happened to be watching a little bit of Glenn Beck while I was listening to you. I am so angry. Let me make one point. You mentioned the health care bill that Obama mm-hmm. doesn't know anything about, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I have in my hand, Posman Books is a bookstore in Grand Central Terminal in New York City. I bought Michelle Malkin's book tonight, Culture of Corruption.
Mm-hmm.
I only got through the acknowledgement, the first part, the introduction. This is what Barack Obama said on January 29, 2009. Okay, he had a signing. He said he signed. When there is a bill that ends up on my desk as president, you, the public, will have 5 days to look online and find out what's in it before I sign it, so that you know what your government's doing, end quote. That's what he said. No such thing with the health care bill. Three different bills, 1,000 pages each, whatever the hell is in it, a bunch of garbage is in it. He's a freaking liar. Okay, that's one thing you brought up. And I want to say to your audience, America, when are you going to realize that we have been hijacked, this administration, by what a caller to another used to show? Now, this is amazing, because I'm going to mention another caller, a guy named Jimmy from Brooklyn. All right? I know your audience across the country doesn't know who this guy is, but he was a genius when it came to communism, Stalinism. He called Obama and his folks Afro-Leninists, because they are Africans who've been hijacked by the Marxist-Leninist ideology.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, Van Jones, who's an avowed communist, a black nationalist, okay, he's going out saying that there's going to be no clean coal, there's no such thing as clean coal. Do you know how many railroad jobs, how much coal we move in this country? If you plan on plugging your car into electrical outlet, where do you think that electricity is going to come from?
Exactly.
Yucca Mountain, it will not be open because Harry Reid's dead body. So all the nuclear power plants across the country have to store their spent fuel on site. We need a depository for the fuel. Out of the question. No nuclear power plants. We need to scour the world like the Chinese and the Russians are doing for uranium deposits for nuclear power plants. Not going to happen under this guy. This guy, Van Jones, America, it's been hijacked. And now let me make this point about the school kids that are going to be talked to by the president.
Mm-hmm.
Straight out of the Communist Manifesto. They've infiltrated the higher education. They're going after the kids. They've always been going after the kids, all right? And really, really quick, on one other topic, part of the Communist Manifesto is to disarm us, take our guns. So let me just squeeze that in. But look, the kids could ask Obama, when he asked them, what could you do for your education? If you're from a single-parent family, you're living with your mom, you can go home and say, Mommy, where's Daddy? Answer that question, especially if you're in a black community. Call me a racist if you want. That's the problem. And you mentioned immigration. I just read a report on third generation children of immigrants, the great-grandchildren of the immigrants, falling behind in education because of out-of-wedlock births. Where's Daddy? You can also ask another question. How come there's no books on the shelves in the living rooms of these houses?
Yep.
I know what I'm talking about. I grew
That's
up in
true.
A family like that, and by the grace of God and the strength of my mother, she told us about hard work and education. I'm no brilliant guy, but this is what these guys, this administration is doing. Can you hear the passion in my voice? I'm just a one caller. This is why this country is falling apart, and we'll have a damn revolution. And I'll call you tomorrow, thanks. Thank you.
All right. You know, a couple of things that Mark said, it's interesting. He's right about the single parent deal, as we know. Although, I don't think that so much that the Obama administration is denying that in the black community, because you've seen some of the public service announcements that have been out there where you see a father with a kid and they're jumping rope and all that other sort of stuff. and saying that you need to do this and they need to go after deadbeat dads and all that sort of stuff. I mean, what's the big push? I don't know, other than seeing the public service announcements. But he's dead on right about that. And people are afraid to say it, but it's rampant in a lot of the minority communities, and it cripples these kids, and the kids have no father influence, and the mother is killing herself working two jobs. We know all of that. He mentioned a name, though, Van Jones, and that's the guy that I was getting to next. He is the Green Jobs Advisor, and he had to apologize for calling Republicans a-holes. That's what he said, saying that the comments were made before he joined the administration, and, oh, yes, they were clearly inappropriate. He was talking to a group of people earlier in the year, and he said that the reason Republicans are stonewalling the president is because they're a-holes. And the remarks were recorded in a video. And, of course, you know, everybody records things. He was talking to somebody, and they recorded it. They didn't expect that. And now that he's in a position of power, they posted him on YouTube. So he has to release a written statement. He released it to Politico. And he said it doesn't reflect, of course, this is what we keep saying. Here's the direct quote of what he said. I apologize for the offensive words I chose to use during that speech. They do not reflect the views of this administration, which has made every effort to work in a bipartisan fashion, and they don't reflect the experience I have had since I joined the administration. He made the comments during an energy lecture. So he's given a lecture. The listeners that were listening to the speech in Berkeley, California, a woman in the audience asked him why Obama and the congressional Democrats were having trouble moving legislation, even though Republicans were a small majority and they didn't have as much trouble earlier in the Bush administration. And that's when he made that comment. So now he's taking it back. Well, geez, it was okay for me to say it before, but now I'm part of this administration. Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable. I just thought you'd enjoy that. typical of what's happening right and left with these guys. So there you have it. You can throw in your two cents about any of the stuff that we're talking about. 800-259-5791. And just like Mark and how he feels so passionate, we say that all the time. On this show, all your opinions are welcome, and we know that there's massive frustration out there because we've seen this, you know, build up to a crescendo from the previous years and the 3 years that I've been doing America Tonight. So next week will be interesting, both to hear what's said to the kids on Tuesday and then what happens in that address of both the House and the Senate. That'll be televised. You know, we'll be dissecting it. Stay with us. We'll fill you in, rather, on the flip side.
If you or your parents are 62 years of age or older and a homeowner, rmapply.com has a message that is vitally important for you and your family. Did you know that you may be eligible for up to $625,000 in HECM benefits? Visit rmapply.com and apply for free to see how much you are entitled to. Right now, people just like you are taking advantage of their benefits and using the money to pay off debt, purchase precious metals, stock up on storable foods, and support this show's sponsors. You may be entitled to hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's your money, and you're entitled to it. Apply for free at rmapply.com. That's the letter R, the letter M, apply.com. rmapply.com. Or call them today for a free, no-obligation evaluation to see how much you qualify for. Call 713-551-1155. That's 713-551-1155 today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
If you currently owe back taxes to the IRS or state, this special announcement is for you. Tax authorities are now accepting settlements, and you can resolve your tax debt for a fraction of what you owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, now is the time to act before it's too late. We're the Rely On Group, and our tax resolution experts are here to help you right now. Many of our tax experts are former IRS agents. They know how to legally and permanently resolve your tax problems and make sure you don't pay a dime more than you have to. Call now to immediately remove tax liens, eliminate tax penalties, and end wage garnishments. If you owe back taxes to the IRS or state, call us for free information about how you can legally settle your tax liabilities and save thousands of dollars. Call now. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944.
You worry. If you don't understand the situation. Hi, summer's coming and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
Are you constantly tired? Have a hard time concentrating? Experience muscle weakness or have problems with digestion? The solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body. Liquid Zeolite, available only at RestoreYourHealthNow.com, captures toxins and physically carries them out of your body. This safe and effective way of detoxifying can easily remove heavy metals and contaminants. Studies show that Liquid Zeolite captures triggering antigens which cause allergies, migraines, and asthma, decreasing the rate and severity of these symptoms. Liquid Zeolite is a tasteless and odorless liquid that, when taken daily, supports a healthy, happy, and active lifestyle in an increasingly toxic world. And Liquid Zeolite is so gentle that you won't even know you're taking it. Although your list of ailments may be endless, the solution is simple. Try Liquid Zeolite for yourself by visiting RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Or call 1-800-976-0025. That's 1-800-976-0025 today.
Been talking about is who's going to fill Senator Ted Kennedy's seat. Interesting twist on all of this. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate hanging with you here on ATN. And Curt Schilling, former pitcher for the Boston Red Sox, is kind of putting the feelers out that he might be interested. He's registered as an independent, but he really leans more toward the Republican side of things. I wonder if they threw his name out there, he would have to be special election. He wouldn't be the interim guy. How well he would do in Massachusetts. He was wildly popular, if you remember. And, you know, even with the bloody heel thing and all that stuff. And, of course, part of an incredibly successful run for the Red Sox. I might give him a chance. And he calls a lot of the radio talk shows there, both sports and news talk variety or politics, and speaks out and says his mind, and he's done that a couple of times. I think nationally he's gotten a couple of bumps when he said something about whatever it is we're talking about, the economy or whatever current crisis that we're in. So he may, based on popularity and all that other stuff, he may have an outside chance. We're going to try to get him on the show. So this is the deal with Senator Kennedy. Now, of course, Kennedy hurriedly, I guess, I don't know, they might have been pulled together over the years, but now that he's dead, his memoir is coming out. And one of the big things that will be a part of the book is he writes about the remorse surrounding the events of Chappaquiddick back in 1969 when he left poor Mary Jo in the car dead in that accident. And, you know, talks about a whole bunch of other things as well. But this has to be one of the threads that people would find compelling, because I don't remember ever in anything I ever saw him addressing anything publicly, other than there was like one time where he had to go before the microphones and said something back at, right after that happened. So the book is called True Compass, and it comes out in like a week and a half, something like that. And it's almost it's more than 500 pages. And of course, a copy was sent to the New York Times, so they put out a few of the things that they found in it. And for Chappaquiddick, he said it was inexcusable what happened. He was afraid, made terrible decisions, had to live with the guilt for more than four decades. And, of course, we know by now he drove off the bridge into the pond. He swam to safety. He left her behind in the car. And she was a worker for Senator Bobby Kennedy's campaign. She was found dead in the car in the back seat 10 hours later. He pled guilty to leaving the scene of an accident, got a suspended sentence and probation. He was 37 at the time when that happened. And so, as we know, people reacted to that when he died, as to that being a big thing of his legacy, and how could we forget what happened, and for that family who just was written off. Oh, geez, okay. So he's come forward and he left the scene of an accident and your daughter's dead. And, of course, the upshot of it is allegedly he had an affair with her, and some say that she was pregnant at the time. So that, of course, fueled the fires, to say the least. Speaking of fueling the fires, since we're on political gossip and books and all that sort of stuff, what is going on with this Levi Johnson? I think he wants his 15 minutes and then some of fame. He is eating it up with a spoon. He did an interview, rather, for Vanity Fair. It's the October issue. And it comes out next week. And in the issue, he says that Sarah Palin definitely who's described as the person who put her career above her put her family above her career. It's the opposite, that she wasn't anything like that. And that, in fact, she didn't even know how to shoot a gun, that she had a gun underneath her bed and asked him, can you show me about this gun that's underneath my bed? And he says there was no parenting in the house, that she didn't cook, that he doesn't cook. The kids do it themselves. They cook, they clean, they do the laundry, they get ready for school. And, you know, there wasn't any parenting going on. This is his point of view, and that she didn't fish and that she didn't hunt. And she originally tried to hide her daughter's pregnancy and said that they would adopt the baby, that she would adopt the baby and her husband would adopt the baby and keep the real parentage a secret. That way, Bristol wouldn't have to worry about anything. And she kept mentioning, I guess, that that's what they were going to do and all that sort of stuff. Then he also says in this article, boy, he just like spilled the beans, whether you believe him or not, because gee, does he have something to gain out of all of this? He said that her bid for the White House got to her head because she'd say things like, I brought everything to the table. This was after they had lost. And the majority of people were out there voting because of me. When supporters of Senator McCain started to blame her for the loss, she thought she was running for president, is what Levi Johnson is saying. And that she did a whole slew of other things that the public had no idea, that she was not really much of a great parent. Wow. I can't wait to see what Sarah Palin shoots back with, because, of course, she does that Facebook thing. And now this is just starting to leak out. And this magazine has a pretty big subscription base. It's released next week. So he was on the Today Show, as you know, like a month ago, and he talked about a bunch of different things. He's now written this piece for Vanity Fair. And like I said, I mean, obviously he has an axe to grind anyway with her. So how much is true and how much isn't true, who knows? We saw plenty of video of her looking like she was fishing to me, and then we heard the whole deal about her being able to hunt moose. And I don't know. Like, it would be, could I say I know how to dress? You know, I know how to gut, basically. My family would call it gut. I know how to go and shoot deer, and I know how to gut it, and I can be in the deer blind and all that stuff. Well, of course, anybody who was a hunter would know that I had no clue what I was talking about. Yes, lots of people in my family hunt, but I haven't done it. So I don't know. Do you take what he says at face value or with a massive grain of salt? Donovan, I'll ask you, because we talked about Sarah Palin a bunch. That would certainly change her image if she wasn't somebody who hunted, if she wasn't somebody who could really fish, if she wasn't somebody who did much with the family. It'd be the complete opposite of the package of Sarah Palin that people like, a lot of people struck a chord with and have embraced her for, right?
Well, it would be a complete revision, but given her history, whenever anyone says anything remotely negative about her, she tends to create as much of an uproar as she can within the next 2 or 3 days. So I'm sure we'll see something come up.
Right. That's what I think. Something will come back from that, certainly. I mean, obviously, there's no love lost between Levi Johnson and Sarah Palin. And he certainly is lapping up. You know, you can't say he's angelic. He's lapping up his 15 minutes of fame and then some. He might even pose for Playgirl magazine or something. I think I heard that earlier in the day. And so you have to think about that angle of it. So how much of, you know, what is true, what isn't true. But for sure, she will counter back with something. But it's a completely, I mean, it is a completely different version. It's not like saying one or two things like, hey, she didn't really want us to talk about the pregnancy, thought that they could just adopt our baby so it would look better or whatever. It's, man, it is saying that she completely is not at all who she said she was. So I guarantee we'll hear something probably sooner rather than later. In the case of Kennedy, they waited until he died to release the book, so there's no questions about Chappaquiddick and all the stuff that he talks about, because there's nobody to go to other than family members, I guess, which they're not going to do that. So if you wanted to get more on what was revealed in the book, you can't. And that's the idea, that I think he waited until he was gone before he revealed the thoughts about Chappaquiddick, which, of course, it's a layup. He's going to say he felt guilty. He's going to say all that stuff. People were horrified at the time when that happened. And still, we saw it last week. As much as there were people that poured out in Boston for Ted Kennedy, there were a lot of people that said, wow, finally, just desserts, and, you know, poor Mary Jo and her family, and Chappaquiddick was a disgrace, and it was a cover-up, and all that stuff. Let's put it this way, it didn't bury that story, okay? Interesting thing that's come up that I've gotten a couple of emails on, because I brought this up with the woman who had the full dress, where she was in a court for civil litigation and refused to, you know, they could only see her eyes, and she refused to take off of her headdress so that, you know, be in plain clothes so the judge could see her face. And he said he didn't like to address somebody that way. She's now, with the help of care, suing that judge for discrimination. And there's been a lot lately that's been kicked up about teachers wearing religious clothing. I mean, this was a woman in a courtroom, but now there's been a lot of things that have been kicked up about that. Pennsylvania and Nebraska have laws which they say they try to balance the constitutional conflict between, you know, protecting kids from the establishment of religion in schools and the rights of the teachers to express their beliefs through their dress. You know, it's a great fair or foul question. As you think of nuns, they have habits. You think of others, as somebody wearing a turban. And recently there was a big problem with that. I'll explain more when we come back here on America Tonight.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, unlike other companies that just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
There aren't many guarantees in this world. The closest I can come to a guarantee is that the dollar is going to zero. During the great hyperinflation in Weimar, Germany, people who had worked all their lives, invested conservatively, were wiped out, reduced to poverty. There are many parallels between the Weimar and the U.S. today. I'll send you a list. There are ways to protect yourself from hyperinflation, gold and silver, and legal and constitutional ways to avoid confiscation, which is becoming highly probable. I'm Bob Moss with Midas Resources. Many of the people I talk to today are aware of trouble coming but haven't taken action to protect themselves. There is, in fact, a financial tsunami coming, and it could fall upon us quickly with little warning. Don't procrastinate. Protect yourself. Call me today, Bob Moss, at 800-686-2237, extension 111. That's Bob Moss, Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 111. Again, that's Bob Moss, 800-686-2237, extension 111.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
All right, so we're back to the separation of church and state somewhat, right? And here's the deal in the classrooms, the idea of teachers wearing religious garments, that they can or cannot do it. The courts in Oregon and Pennsylvania both rejected claims by a couple of teachers and pointed out conflicts with the Constitution, that teachers have a constitutional right to freedom of religion, but school districts have to avoid supporting any religion. In some cases, especially if it's a private school, that's a whole different thing. But, man, this is really clogging up our courts, and I didn't realize this. Whatever it is, the style of dress, and, you know, even if it's not super religious, people have been challenged for that, and they've had a bunch of cases. So they what's happened lately has been the fact that you've had problems with some of the Muslim women who teach and what they're teaching and what they're wearing. And it's become a conflict in some of the schools. It's funny, I didn't realize this, but there is a law that was backed by the Klan about a century ago to keep Catholics out of public schools. And like I said, it points to that Oregon deal, one of the last states in the United States that doesn't allow teachers, you know, stops them from wearing religious clothing to classrooms. I don't know. I mean, it depends on what they're wearing, I guess. And I think it's more about what they're teaching. What are they teaching? What are they saying to the kids versus what are they wearing? There was a Muslim teacher in Pennsylvania that lost a challenge in 91 for the right to wear a headscarf at school. But, you know, so you've got Oregon, you've got Pennsylvania, and I guess you have Nebraska where it can get pretty dicey. And I didn't realize that so many people were filing claims and that they're saying, hey, look, this isn't an easy issue because people are passionate about their religion. Well, if you have to be neutral, what about people who wear crosses? There are so many people that wear crosses. Can you not wear a cross, too? And, you know, how many people do I see? I'm thinking off the top of my head, I'm running through, having gone to a school recently and spoke. I'm positive. It was a public school, and I'm positive. I saw a lot of people wearing various types of either gold or silver or whatever crosses that they had. So I guess that would fall into that same category. Of course, it wasn't in one of those three states. I don't know, food for thought, right? Just another piece of controversy, something else to clog up the courts and to have a tug of war over versus what's really important. What are you teaching the kids? How much access do they have to the library and books and tutors and all the things that they need in moving forward? Like, personally, I think they should teach finances to kids in some form so they realize when they get into the real world, how do they apply some of the things that they've learned. Beef up the science, beef up the math, certainly beef up anything that has to do with computers, because almost anywhere anybody works anymore, you've got to deal with them, right? Well, we move from that, from the classroom, to a couple of other things. I mentioned L.A., and what they're saying there is, I just checked in with a friend while we were in break, and the fires are still, of course, burning, 28% or so contained. And they're looking for any kind of clues as to what could have started this gigantic fire about a week ago. And it grew certainly into one of the largest ever in Southern California's history. That's the sad thing. They think it was human caused for sure. They're saying that at this point, but the scenarios are all over the map. You know, was this arson? Was this an accident? And these guys are good at what they do for the U.S. Forest Service. They know how to comb through stuff. They put their gloves on, and they start digging through some of what's left in the wake of the fire, the place, you know, the one big oak tree, or what was just over the side of the guardrail, what was at the bottom of the ravine, all that other sort of thing. And they paw through it and then try to piece together and figure out how could what could have started this fire that so far has burned up 140,000 acres. And I guess the weather conditions are kind of improving now, so they're making much better progress at this point. And what happens is these guys, I mean, this is what they do for a living, but you have these guys that barely get any chance to lay their head down and sleep, but they try to pump them with as much food, certainly, as they can. They need protein. Anybody ever been to a firehouse and try to pick up some of those hoses? Any of you guys out there try to do that? I've done a lot of stories over the years with firemen, and I have a definite admiration for them. How they do it and the pounds that they put on their back. I don't know how they do it. You'd have to be in such great shape. And then the idea that you just go into the burning building or into the woods or into the home and just put it all in the line, knock down the doors and try to find the people. So you have people in shelters because of the smoky conditions, tough to breathe, all that sort of stuff. And because with the mandatory evacuations, if it's close to the homes, it's certainly not safe to have the people there. So you have people with kids, people with pets, just trying to, you know, to get away from the haze and the fire that they see off in the distance. I mean, I'll tell you, it's got to be stressful to go through that. Is anybody has listening to me knows, when we talk about things with Mother Nature, whether it's earthquakes or hurricanes or fires, mudslides, etc., pick whatever the poison is. But with the fires, you're just watching. You're every single night. It's like in L.A., you have such a captive audience, of course, with this, like the car chases. It's become such a big deal there that people stop what they're doing to go to their phone, to watch the car chase, to whatever. Now I'm hearing, because people are worried about their towns and their houses, that's what's happening. People are getting it on their iPhones and watching the continuous coverage of where, what area is cleared, has it jumped over the highway, and, you know, all that other stuff, because they want to know detail, blow-by-blow description to be prepared for whether they're evacuating or whether or not their house is going to be the lucky one and they're going to survive. All right, I'm going to head to the mailbox because we did get a lot of mail about a couple of different things that we did earlier in the show, and I want to make sure that I give people a chance to express themselves because I'm always pumping the email. AmericaTonight.net. Don't go to AmericaTonight.com because it is definitely different than AmericaTonight.net. Let me just say that. Here's one from PT. PT says, Kate, I thought that was funny when Don in Kentucky called in a little while ago. He likes the hot blondes on Fox. Fox purposely hires the hot blondes to get the men to watch. I don't think that ABC News is going to do it because they're going to throw the credibility thing out there. That's why Diane Sawyer. I think she looks pretty good for her age, so I'm going to disagree with Don from Kentucky. Here's one from Paul. Paul says, hi, Kate. I've listened to the show for a long time. Thanks. I appreciate it. I have to tell you, I thought it was interesting when you did the read with your technical guy. He was very, very dry, and I appreciated it. And then you had the sound in the background, and I thought it was funny. How did you choose your stories? I'm going to say randomly. Donovan, how did you choose your story? Randomly, right?
It was an amusing one I found on Reuters today.
That's it. That's how it's done, just like that. I knew it was one of the big stories on the day, and it was obvious, so it was there. Here's one from Casey, and Casey says, hello, I've been listening for the last couple of months, and I have to say I thought it was pretty funny as well when you were doing the Diane Sawyer imitation. Well, it wasn't a Diane Sawyer imitation, let me make that clear. I'm the worst at imitations. I couldn't do Diane Sawyer to save my life, even if you shook $1,000 in front of me. So it wasn't really an imitation, but it was funny that we were trying to say, listen, maybe we could be right for the job, obviously. Probably not, since Diane Sawyer immediately slid right into that capacity. However, what happens to the morning show? I don't know, Donovan. We might have to come up with another tryout. Sit next to Robin Roberts and do that morning thing.